Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Today we are celebrating the second Sunday of Advent when we will light the candle of hope and we'll look deep into our hearts to look for signs of hope through scripture, prayer, music, communion, and a great message from Pastor John. Our worship leaders today are Tom Doan and Suzanne Everett. And the Advent wreath will be lighted by Brian and Sarah and Shiloh Dick. As I share a few announcements, I invite any children who would like to head for Sunday school. And let me begin to share some things. We do have a lot today. First of all, I want to tell you about Christmas Eve, because Christmas Eve is coming. It's a meaningful day to so many of us, and it's on a Sunday this year. So our entire worship schedule is different, so pay attention. Christmas Eve day will begin here at the Brighton campus at 11 a.m. Do you know what that means for you 9:30 people?
Don't come.
There won't be church at 9:30. This 11 o'clock service is going to be a service designed especially for young children and families. And you can come at 11, but 9:30, you'll have to go out for breakfast or something. Okay. Then, here at the Brighton campus, there will be three evening services. They'll be at 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 9 o'clock. The 5 o'clock service will feature music by the praise band with candles, glow sticks, and a special children's moment where the kids will stay here and worship and have a children's time. The 7 and the 9 o'clock services are both going to have both the choir and handbells. So you know it's going to be wonderful music and, of course, candles and glow sticks. But don't forget about that 9:30. And then, supposing your day is really full and it would work better for you to go to church at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we've got you covered. You can go down to Whitmore Lake and there will be a wonderful service with acoustic guitar and candles and glow sticks. So there's lots of choices. Now, number two. The children's musical is next Sunday at 10 o'clock, December 10th at 5, December 10th at 5 o'clock. So you notice Susan jumped in on that one. You got to get that one right. This program is free, and it's followed by a taco dinner catered by our own Sevi Ramos. You need to buy those tickets today in coffee hour for the taco dinner. The tickets for the dinner are $12 for adults, $6 for kids, and kids under two are free. Number three, there's going to be a great Christmas party for kids ages 4 through 11 on Wednesday, December 13th at 6 p.m. It's called Light of the World, and there's going to be games and stories and all kinds of wonderful activities. Come, but you need to sign up for that online under events. Number four, if Christmas is a little hard for you, and it might well be for many of us, as you remember at that time, it's a time of remembering, and we remember loved ones who we've lost, you should come this evening at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary, because there's going to be a special quiet service called Hope for Christmas. Nobody has to sign up. Just come. Pastor Lindsay and Pastor John will be leading it together. And then finally, believe it or not, there's even more Christmas activities and studies happening, including a special schedule for December 31st. Notice that, because that's going to affect everybody also. But I think it's too much to think about today. So you can discover more, you can sign up online, you can sign up on the connection cards for all of these things, and you can drop your connection card in the offering plate along with your prayer requests. I just realized.
When the angel Gabriel visited Mary, announcing God's plan for her to conceive and give birth to the Messiah, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Luke 1:34. And yet, only a few months later, Mary sings to Elizabeth, saying, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Luke 1:46 through 49.
We, like Mary, hear God's call for our life. We may question and doubt and become anxious, asking how can this be? I am only... Yet, like Mary, the onlys that make us hesitate are gifts God can and will use through us to bring hope into the world. This morning, we light the Advent candles of peace and hope. May they remind us that the peace of Christ is always with us, and it is God that we place our hope, just as Mary did long ago.
Amen.
Oh,
Please join me in the opening prayer. O come, Emmanuel, we pray, and bring us hope. We pray to have the peaceful acceptance of Mary when you call us to serve. We pray for hope for the suffering of the world. God be with us all now and always. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture lesson this morning is from Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Tom, for leading us in our scripture this morning. And every once in a while, when I come up to preach, I always feel like, you know, the work has already been done. And when Shiloh was up here and she said amen, I was like, we can all go home now, you know, like we've had church, right? Like we were here together celebrating this moment of hope. And your word, Shiloh, I think reminded us of the great hope that we have around this time of year. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who is the source of inspiration for our hope. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love Luke chapter 1. I mean, it's action-packed. I honestly think you could write a soap opera to this story right in the very beginning of Luke. I mean, the first part of it, it's dedicated. This work is commissioned. Theophilus says to Luke, do me a favor and capture all of the stories about this guy named Jesus. So Luke, the physician, goes out, and he just literally tries to interview folks, I imagine, in the ancient world to capture every story that he possibly can about Jesus' life. And the very first story is the story about Zechariah, who's at this point a fairly old man. And at this point, an angel comes and visits him while he's standing inside the sanctuary. He's in the midst of his responsibility to kind of care for the temple of God. And the angel comes to him, and he's sort of taken aback, as we oftentimes are when an angel comes and visits us unannounced, right? He's like terrified, which most of us would be if we think we're in a sacred place by ourselves alone, and suddenly we realize we're not alone and the hair stands up on our skin. And Zechariah's like, how is this possible? My wife's sort of up in age, right? She's past the childbearing years, and yet we're going to have children. We're going to have a child. John the Baptist is what he's supposed to be. And after that, as he questions the angel, his punishment is that he's not able to speak at all. He goes silent until John the Baptist comes into the world. And then soon after that, you've got this scene with Mary, who's also going to be visited. And she's told that she's going to have a child, but Mary's allowed to ask questions, which she does, ask several questions, and she's not silenced for her questioning spirit. Maybe her questions were better. Maybe her questions were more faithful. Zechariah, if you can imagine, in this family soap opera, is sitting in the corner like, we're going to have a baby. Right? And Mary's like, my soul magnifies the Lord, right? I am greatly to be, you know, honored for having the child that is to be called the Most High. Zechariah is silenced. She's excited. She's the willing one who's able to bring the Messiah into the world. She has this moment, though, where an angel comes to visit her and says, you are going to give birth to a son. You're going to call him Jesus. And Mary says, how can this be? I'm a virgin. And yet, by the end of this particular story, when Mary had been chosen, Mary is willing to say yes to this plan that God has for her and Joseph. And I've got to believe, you know, that a huge part of Mary must have been overwhelmed with fear and anxiety and anxiousness. I mean, I'm not going to break any news here, but I have never been pregnant before. When I've talked with my wife about what this was like, she talked a lot about middle of the night waking up. Has anybody been there? Worrying, wondering about what the child within her was going to become, what kind of world this child was going to be born into. And I have to say, like, for Mary, this is super loaded because she's already been told that this child's going to be the Messiah. This is the one that's supposed to come in and set a whole new narrative for our Jewish ancestors, for the Jewish people who lived in Israel nearly 2,000 years ago. And so Mary, like, if Lindsay's sleepless nights were sort of like a 7 out of 10, I've got to believe that Mary's sleepless nights must have been incredibly filled with anxiety and fear and all of these thoughts, right, that must have been rolling through her head about all of the Old Testament prophecies about who this Messiah was supposed to be. I haven't been pregnant, but I can imagine that Mary would have had all kinds of thoughts going through her head. It reminds me of that song, Mary, Did You Know? That your baby boy would someday rule the nations. Throughout the course of that song, it continuously asked the question, Mary, did you know who Jesus would become? Did you know what he would do? Did you know what he would be capable of? Did you know how he would impact the world? Did you know how it would transform our understanding of what it means to be faithful? Did you know that this one, your son, would have an impact that would cascade from generation to generation? The answer, I think, of course, is maybe in part yes and maybe in part no. She knew her son was going to be special. She knew that he was going to have an impact on the world, but maybe she didn't know that he was going to be the kind of person that would get down on his hands and knees and say, "Let all the children come to me." Maybe she didn't know that he was going to be able to restore sight to blind folks. Maybe she didn't know that he was going to be the kind of person that invited tax collectors and sinners to eat together at his table, something that would break Jewish custom in his day. Maybe she didn't realize that Jesus was ultimately going to end up on a cross because the very people who cheered for him on Palm Sunday would be the same people who would shout crucify him later on that week. I can't imagine that Mary would have known all of that, but like most moms that I know, I think Mary knew that Jesus was going to be special. When the angel visited her, I imagine that Mary probably had some choice in the matter. I think she could have said no. I think she could have said, you know, let this cup pass from me. Give this to somebody else. I'm not sure that my family is ready for this level of responsibility. I don't know that I'm ready for this. I mean, most historians of the Bible imagine that Mary was probably 13 years old. If you know folks who are 13, and I know it's impossible to compare this age to the age that was 2,000 years ago, but at 13, can you imagine what it would have been like for Mary to hear from an angel in that moment? You're going to give birth to a child. You're not even married yet. You're going to be a single parent. Good luck. And then I think probably the most difficult part is having the conversation with Joseph. And sometimes I find myself thinking about what it would have been like, and not to throw my co-pastor under the bus, but like I just imagine if it was like Lindsay coming to me and saying, "I'm pregnant, and you're not the dad. And I want to raise this child with you." There was a moment there that everybody in the Holy Family at that time had a choice to make. Mary to say yes to the angel and to the plan that God had for her. Joseph, as he wrestles with this question, we talked about it last week, right, with whether or not to dismiss her quietly in the night, to have her killed, or some other choice, you know, that he ultimately ends up making to continue to support her and be Jesus's father. Mary says yes. Joseph says yes, and Jesus is born into the world with kind of a unique family situation right from the very start. But Mary, did you know what you were saying yes to? Yes, it would have been joyous that first Christmas Eve, the night that Jesus was born, to bring him into the world. Yes, it probably would have been fun to raise the Messiah, to be able to see him as he grows up and takes his first steps and uses his first words and all of the milestones that you celebrate when you're bringing a child into the world, maybe the first moment that he read his words. But even in that moment, right, when you think about Nazareth, he goes into his hometown temple and he opens it up and he starts preaching a word that he's come to preach, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the captives free, and they run him out of town. Mary had no idea what she was getting herself into. And I think that's true for most of us. When God has a plan and the angel shows up and says, "I have an idea, you're going to bring the Messiah into the world," I imagine that probably most of us would be like, "I don't know, God. Surely you're thinking of the John who's standing behind me. Surely you've got somebody else in mind who's more qualified, who's more capable, who's got the gifts, who has the knowledge, who's more, you know, spiritually pious. Surely you're looking at somebody else." And yet Mary says, "Yes." I don't know what kinds of angels are visiting you in the middle of the night. Maybe there are angels that are asking you questions about what the next step in your life may be. Maybe there are angels that are prompting you to do something that makes you feel uncomfortable. Maybe there are angels that are pushing you to do something completely extraordinary. And I don't know why, but I was thinking about angels in particularly women in our world who have sort of risen to an extraordinary calling like Mary did in this moment. And our church has sort of rallied around Rosa Parks over the last couple of years. And I like her because she was lived out the latter stages of her life in Detroit. You probably know the reality of that. She lived in an apartment building in the city of Detroit. And I kind of got to thinking about this woman who decided not only once, and that's how the story is kind of classically told, but in the Montgomery bus boycott, multiple times Rosa Parks had been arrested for refusing to give up her seat on the bus. And yet she continuously went back and sat on the bus and was arrested over and over and over again in the sort of defiant desire to transform the world, at least her part of it. And I think about this woman who finally, on a day in Montgomery, Alabama, decided to sit on the bus knowing she was going to get arrested, knowing that she wasn't supposed to sit in that particular seat. And sure enough, the bus driver, who had already called the police on her on more than one occasion, called the police on her once again. She was arrested, and she became the icon of a civil rights movement that transformed our country and perhaps witnessed to the entire world about how things that always had been a certain way don't always have to be that way into the future. And thank God when Rosa Parks was waking up that particular morning, when I'm sure there was all kinds of like fear and anxiety about going to sit on a bus in a place that was traditionally or historically reserved for white people, that she said yes, that she was willing to be used by God to transform an entire system of laws within our country that broke down barriers and created a pathway for us all to be treated in similar likeness. We still have a long way to go. But I thank God that throughout the course of history, when people have felt called to do something that I consider to be superhuman, that by God's power, they're well willing and able to work up a kind of courage that sometimes I only dream of having. I think about somebody like Rosa Parks, and I've been to Greenfield Village, and it's really something to me that the bus that she refused to give up her seat on is right there, and you can sit inside it. And I found myself, the last time I was in Greenfield Village, unable to move from sitting in one of those chairs in the bus, just thinking in my mind what it would have been like to have the police officers walk onto the bus and put her in handcuffs and escort her off the bus. And in moments like that, I find myself thinking about folks like Mary, who I imagine the idea of bringing the Messiah into the world would have brought about many of those same sleepless nights that I referred to earlier in the message. The anxiety about bringing the Messiah who would become the suffering servant crucified on the cross, that thought of bringing hope and light and love and peace into the world. What an awesome responsibility. Mary, did you know? As we go into this Advent season and the nights become a little bit longer, God bless them, we'll pray for sunshine at any time you want. I'll be happy to do like any kind of sun dance. But as we go into these long evenings, I encourage you to take advantage of the stillness of the night, to listen to the voices of angels in your own life, who might not be calling you to give birth to the Savior of the world, who might not be calling you like, you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth to give birth at an advanced age. But I trust that if you listen intently in the quiet stillness of the night, that voice of God may still have a calling for you yet. And my hope is that all of us can have the kind of courage that Mary had to say yes. My hope is that all of us, you know, have this moment where we say, God, if this is your will, if this is your plan, if it's up to you, I'm here. At the end of this particular part of Luke, like I said, it's an action-packed part of Luke. Finally, Mary goes to see Elizabeth, and they hang out for a little bit. And Mary has this beautiful song that she sings. It's called the Magnificat, and many of us kind of understand it as a piece of music that she that she sings. And I invite you to hear these words that picks up just after the scripture passage that was shared for us by Tom this morning. It says, "And Mary said," or we could say, "And Mary sung, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever.'" And that was Mary's song. She felt blessed to be used by God to transform the world. And I hope that blessing for all of you who say yes to Mary's plan. I hope that during this season of Advent, you're visited by angels. Even if they're just quiet little voices inside your head, I hope every once in a while that it scares you. I hope that every once in a while you have to wrestle with whether or not to say yes with the thing that God's calling you to do in the world. Because probably that means that whatever God's calling you to do is bigger than what your capacity is to do it. And that's good news, because that means that God will have to be involved in accomplishing whatever it is that God's asking you to do, and your faith will be made better for it. May you say yes when the angels come visiting in the night. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hearing Mary's story reminded me of a plaque that I had at home. It says something about having faith over fear. And the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid." But it seems to me she had every reason to be afraid. Mary's faith, though, gave her the strength to say yes to God's will. In today's world, we are surrounded and bombarded by news that challenges our faith and our resolve to be brave. Let's join together in prayer, seeking that faithfulness of Mary. Let's pray. Holy and compassionate God, we welcome your warmth and loving presence this morning. We rest in your strength and soak up your encouragement. Thank you for always being with us and for moments like this that remind us we are never alone. Thank you for music and motion that reminds us to praise and worship you, to dance like David with the joy that comes from the living God. A God who loves us and wants us to be filled with God's Spirit always. Throughout the day or week, we are challenged by news that could rock our world. The death of a loved one, a diagnosis, war and atrocities inflicted on our fellow human beings. We need your infusion of hope and faith, Lord. A faith that empowers us to take steps toward your kingdom and gives us courage to act in your name. With that power, we pray for direction on where to put those energies so that your people will be safe, free from hunger, and ready for life in abundance. Sometimes the things that challenge our faith and call us to prayer feel more mundane, but still very real. We pray for your guidance and intervention for those in financial struggles or looking for meaningful work or caught in our own cycle of pain or addiction or emotional distress. May each of us and those we pray for be strengthened in faith like Mary and Joseph to face the challenges before us and emboldened with the courage that can only come from you. We pray also for Steve, who will receive today's prayer quilt. Lord, may the knots we tie, the card we sign, and the prayers we say be a tangible symbol and a real comfort to Steve. We pray for his healing and strength. As we sit in the quiet stillness of this worship time, we open ourselves to you, God. Hear us as we silently share the prayers on our hearts. With one voice, we join together to repeat the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We've come to a time in the service where we have an opportunity to gather at God's table. And as we join together in this time, for those of you who are interested in following along in our communion liturgy, we'll be using page 13 out of the Red United Methodist Hymnal in the pew back in front of you. And these words are words that are shared in United Methodist churches all around the world, and so they become sacred and holy as we share in them this day. So we begin with these words of grace.
My friends, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks for it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. Take it and eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took a cup, and he gave thanks for it, and he said, "This is my blood, which has been poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take it and drink it as often as you can in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and cup, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to invite those who will be helping us serve communion to come forward as we begin. In a moment, the ushers will dismiss you, beginning in the back, and we'll have an opportunity for you to come forward and receive these elements of bread and cup. You don't have to be a member of this or any other church to come forward and receive these elements. In the United Methodist Church, we practice what we call an open table, which means that it's not my table and it's not Pastor Lynn's table and it's not the church's table, it's God's table, which means everybody is welcome to come forward and receive these elements. There will be elements available on each of the radial aisles, and then there will be a gluten-free station in the middle. If you require those elements, please come forward and receive those elements from the center. And I also want to let you know that Pastor Lynn and I, we did this for the first time on All Saints Sunday, will be available in the back if anybody would like to come forward and receive a prayer or a blessing as we enter into this Advent season. We know that it's not easy for everyone. For some folks, there are burdens on our heart. There are things that are going on in the lives of our family members. And if we can pray alongside you, we'd be honored to do so. Feel no obligation to do that. It's just an invitation if that's something that would be a blessing to you as we gather in this time. All has been made ready. Will you please come and feast at God's heavenly banquet? Amen.
Amen.
Join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this table where everyone is welcome. We give you thanks that your Son Jesus sat with the disciples and reassured them, gave them hope. In the stillness and the quiet of night, he said, "This is my body. And this is my blood. Take it and eat it and drink it in remembrance of me." And we give you thanks that even now, thousands of years later, this moment of communion continues to give us hope and surround us with love. May this meal be blessed. As we receive it, may it nourish our bodies and our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, the God of all creation chose to come among us, as a tiny baby whose name was Jesus, and he came to bring good news to the poor, to the blind, the oppressed, and he calls us to join him in that work. So in support of this work of Jesus, this congregation continues to generously give. You know those estimate of giving cards that we're all turning in when we can that help the church to plan ahead for a good year? I have good news. We've received 14 more cards this year than last year. We're moving forward. And here's some more good news. The Brighton Area Crop Walk, remember it started right here? They raised $12,000 more for hungry people and sisters. They raised $12,000 for hungry people, and that was more than last year. And 25% of that money goes to three of our local organizations. So as we give our tithes and our offerings to God, it is a way that we can continue to do our part to bring the good news. I invite the ushers to come forward.
Lord Jesus, please accept the offerings we bring to your church today. Bless and guide us to use them in ways that will help hope to spring to life in our world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, God's angels didn't stop visiting with Mary. God's cry for justice didn't end with Rosa Parks sitting on a bus near over 60 years ago. Just a couple of months ago, one of our own expressions of Rosa Parks went before the Livingston County Commissioners. Eric Casey, who regularly takes the Let's Bus to church, went before the Livingston County Commissioners, and he simply, in his 3 minutes that he was allotted, told his story about what it's like to take public transit every Sunday to get here to worship. And sure enough, just shortly thereafter, the Livingston County Commissioners sent a text to a member of our church and society group saying, "Okay, okay, we'll add additional bus drivers on the weekend." My prayer is that Mary's song would continue to be lifted up in all of our hearts, that God would continue to do things to transform our community so that folks don't have to wait in the cold for hours for a bus driver to show up through no fault of the bus driver or their own, that someday we can live in a world that looks exactly like heaven. Wouldn't that be great? And maybe it's just one added bus driver at a time. As you go out into the world, listen to the voices of the angels. They will never lead you astray. As you go out, go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.